The Mike Missinelli Show.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock you.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. Here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli on General Knowledge Wednesday. And when a six-star general shows up, you must stand at attention. And nobody tops General Knowledge. In my normal seat, Tyler Zuli, Jen Scordo with us today doing updates and other things. It's going to be a, well, I don't know what kind of day it's going to be. Because I just want to tell you, I'm not in the best spirits right now. And, well, we'll start with the word of the day, and that's sidekicks. And it unfortunately has to start with Ben Simmons. In Philadelphia, we're used to, at times, our star players letting us down. But lately, between Nola and whatever the heck he's doing this season, it's not pitching. I don't know what he's out there doing on the mound. And what Ben Simmons did versus what Giannis just did, I don't know what to do. I don't know what kind of day we're going to have. Now, if you look to TV audits, you'll see that Tyler Zuli on a day like today, in which we now have evidence. You see, it was hypothetical during the Hawks season where we said, if Ben Simmons just plays, just is active, just participates in basketball, if Ben Simmons just does something other than play hopscotch, they win that series and maybe they can win the title. We said that, and it was hypothetical when it was the Hawks. What we learned is, now it's official, that if Ben Simmons had a pulse the day after his 25th birthday, then we know now that the Sixers could go far, because we're not even asking Ben Simmons to be the Batman. He's the Robin. He's the sidekick. Middleton scored 40 in a game in that series. Imagine everything Joel Embiid did, but Ben Simmons actually, like, decided to play basketball. And despite that happening, and the pain that I'm feeling after having the evidence, you see, when it's hypothetical, it's one thing. You know, you talk to somebody if, or like, you know, these people that when you're older and you have a female friend, male and female, or however it is, hey, if we get to age 45 and we're not married, well, we'll get married together. It's all fun and games until you guys both turn 45 and you're single. Are you guys really going to get married? This was proof, okay? And the Sixer sidekick could do stuff that the Bucks Robin can do. The Bucks Batman, the Sixers Robin can do stuff, in theory at least, that the Bucks Batman can do. And he just chose not to do it. And instead of being upset about it, when Tyler Zuli's wearing a Sixers shirt today, on television. Now, Tyler, before we get into the meat of the show, how do you wake up in the morning? You have clothes. Like, I don't know how you have clothes. You are not a homeless man. You have clothes. And knowing what Ben Simmons did and what all of us just saw, how can you bring yourself to wear a shirt that represents the sidekick who shot the ball zero times in four straight fourth quarters and wished himself a happy birthday?
So two reasons. And the one you just made mention. I did just move. I've been here quite a bit the last couple days.
You have been.
Boxes are still full. Boxes are still boxes, right? They're not unpacked.
Uh-huh.
It's not really home just yet. It's just
a house.
It's still happening.
Like, it's the opposite of Luther. House is not a home. This is what Luther said.
It was available. And it was not wrinkled from moving. It was not dirty. It looks decent on TV. Uh-huh. Right, I have some T-shirts that are in the house, right? But they're like walk the dog T-shirts. They're like go to the gym T-shirts, right? They're not acceptable for TV because they're older or they probably got like pit stains or something like that.
Right.
This is something that looked okay on TV. Two, Ben Simmons made me miserable.
Made you?
Yes.
So yesterday, last night, you watched that game.
Correct.
You saw the dominance that was Giannis. And you didn't at any point think, wow, that he doesn't have, you agree that Joel Embiid is better than any of Giannis's teammates.
Yes.
Okay. You never thought during that series or during that game, wow, Ben has the ability to do, in theory, a bunch of the stuff Giannis is doing out there, but he just didn't do it. It didn't throw salt in the wound for you.
Of course it did. I am angry at Ben still, and I will be for quite some time.
Uh-huh.
I have moved past the Sixers.
Mm-mm. He's on
as
the Sixers.
A team.
Mm-mm.
Which is why I'm comfortable wearing this today.
All right, we're going to get more into that and why it's a complete violation. And I love the Sixers. But what I saw last night with Giannis, with the 50 spot, and I just thought, instead of 50, if Ben Simmons can just go out there and do half, literally half of what Giannis did, half, the Sixers would be the champions. The Sixers would be the champions if Ben Simmons, on his 25th birthday, could have been half of the 50 that Giannis was. And he wished himself happy birthday. I can't take it. And he's the sidekick. Batman did what he was supposed to do. And Embiid, playing on one leg, did all he could do. We all know that. We're not going to relitigate that. But the sidekick came up short. And now before the finals game start, you think, all right, the Phillies sidekick pitcher, their number two pitcher's on the mound, he'll step up and do something, Nola. He's coming off a long rest due to unprofessional activity by him. And that unprofessional guy comes out there once again. I'm being kind by calling him unprofessional. Comes out there and Yankee Stadium against a lineup that was a joke. If you're telling me you knew all those batters for the Yankees, I will tell you you're a liar. They mentioned Tom McCarthy during the game. This guy coming up to the plate now is one of their top prospects. He looks at the sheet. Yes, he's the Yankees' number 10 prospect. He can't get through six innings, Tyler. The sidekick, like Wheeler, for the most part, has done the job this year. The Batman has done it. Just like Embiid did the job, MVP and all that stuff. It's now to the point where in Philadelphia, it's not enough just for the star. Our backup guys with less pressure are coming up short. I can't do it. I won't do it. It's getting to the point where I don't want to go game to game with the Phillies. But you end up with more COVID on this team. And I'm thinking about this trade deadline. I need something to soothe myself after all the pain from the Sixers that Tyler's over. Tyler's fine. Didn't you say you can't let, what'd you say before the show, Tyler?
I can't let it ruin my life.
You can't let it ruin your life. It's ruined mine.
My
sporting life. I can't recover from it. And Giannis, doing all that Giannis stuff. And then today, ordering a 50-piece McNugget after getting 50 points. He goes on Instagram Live. He's just living his best life. He should be. Finals MVP, champion, living a great life. Of course he should go order a 50-piece. Meanwhile, Ben Simmons decided to share his gourmet dinner for his birthday as he wished himself happy birthday, and he's home. And if he could just have done just a little bit more, just be passable, then we get a totally different deal, and perhaps the Sixers are winning the finals. So I see there's already people on the line. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. I know I'm not crazy. I know I wasn't the only one out there that saw. I'm not asking Ben to be Giannis because Ben has Joel Embiid. I'm asking him to just be so there's levels. There's the real, there's the poor man's, there's the homeless version, the lowest form of that person. I'm asking him to be the homeless version of Giannis. And against the Hawks, he couldn't do it. But the good thing is he got to wish himself happy birthday, and just rub it in all of our faces. I can't do it. And then Nola, you know, he could have stepped up and had us feeling good. All right, Phillies, they're getting in the mix. But now the Mets lost, so they could have been 1.5 back. Instead, he just does whatever the heck what he's been doing all year. ERA above 6 now since the 1st of June. Above 6, the number 2 pitcher. Sidekicks are coming up short. It's not even the stars anymore. It's now at the point where we have to hope that the people with less pressure. He didn't need to be great. He only needed to be all right. 6 innings, get through 6, maybe get through 7 against a Triple-A lineup. 3 runs, and then McCutchen's home run's the game winner. Instead, we got what we got from him.
You remember how the other day we were talking about the ace start, right?
Uh-huh.
Zach Wheeler.
You have to 7 innings, 2 runs.
Don't need that.
Didn't need that from him.
We walk it back one step.
Uh-huh.
Quality start.
That's all we needed.
All we needed.
Quality start from him, then that's less bullpen, obviously, because he makes it through the inning, less bullpen, so perhaps a couple guys that struggle don't, and he did that knowing there was a bullpen game tonight. I can't take it with these sidekick guys. The stars, I'm not going to complain about, I'm not going to come on and complain about Embiid. You'd have to be a maniac today to complain about him being. There's people on social media doing it. I'm talking to you directly. You're all maniacs. You have to be a maniac to be worried about somebody other than Nola right now when it comes to the pitching staff. Because everybody else is either what they are. So I'm not going to be like upset about Velasquez. He is who he is. Nola's the only one underachieving. And that's a problem because he's doing it at the worst time. We'll talk to Jason Stark at 4. Now it's General Knowledge Wednesday. And today's General Knowledge is presented by Testo North America, the choice for HVAC techs who count on having the most accurate, reliable, and high-tech measurement tools in their toolbox. When precision measurements matter, be sure with Testo. We got a lot of good prizes today. Everyone that gets a question correct, everyone, will win a pair of FanFest tickets for FanFest 2021, plus two lucky listeners. Oh, Jen. Oh, be happy, Jen. Two lucky listeners who get a question correct will win a pair of tickets to see Luke Bryan on Sunday, April 8th, at BB&T Pavilion. Tickets are available right now at Ticketmaster.com. Now, when I do it, there is no categories. It's just you get what you get. But since Jen Scorto is here, Jen Scorto will be able to do the save today. Some of these categories she likely will be able to save you, and some she may not. So you might want to be getting these answers correct on your own. All right, 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Word of the day is sidekick. If you saw how the Sixers' number two guy, you saw what he could be, even if you didn't watch any other game, if you tuned in last night, you saw what the Sixers' number two guy could be, and you also saw what he chooses not to be. And you saw Nola, and I don't care about his vaccination stat. I don't care about any of that. What I do care about is he stinks right now, and the Phillies can't do anything if he continues to stink. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli, who's on vacation. He'll be back on Mondays. 610-632-0975. 2 o'clock hour brought to you by Ferguson HVAC Line Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Visit one of Ferguson's kind of locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pensauk, in my hometown, or Westchester today. And now it's time to start our Twitter poll, and that's brought to you by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Need a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment. Paul B. Moyer & Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with safe contactless pickup in Doylestown. Jen, what is the poll today?
So already well over 300 votes on this one. Will Ben Simmons ever approach the level that Giannis played in last night's NBA Finals win? 5% say yes. 5%. We're at 95% that say no.
So, wow. All right. You just heard that. And what bothers me the most is he doesn't have to be nearly that good. But Giannis showed the path. See, Giannis had never won before last night. So the theory could still be, well, I don't know if not shooting it, not doing those things, could actually still win. Now we know for a fact that it still can. The question then becomes, in theory, we could say, all right, well, Ben could play like that in theory, and the Sixers would still have a shot. But instead, what we really got was, wow, this guy absolutely could, but he's focused on stuff. He's clearly not focused on the right things. And you can do whatever you want for your birthday. You can post whatever you want on social media. And social media is not real life. And he made sure that when he wished himself happy birthday, he did it from a basketball court. But then also the tequila brands that he's posting and the party photos. And you're allowed to party. But it just feels tone deaf when the guy who you should be like is out there killing the world. 50 points to clinch a series. 50 points. And the other guy is like, I was at the gym, but like, you know what most of my pictures are going to be? Partying. It just, doesn't it feel tone deaf on a day when it's the same day?
Yeah, it just doesn't. And again, you're right. Like, you're allowed to celebrate your own
Absolutely.
Birthday. And like, kind of like Devon and I were talking about yesterday, the one thing that I thought was the strangest was, if I'm on social media and I use my Instagram page, I'm wishing other people happy birthday. Like my fiance, my brother, my mom.
Best friend, whoever it might be.
If I went on Instagram and was like, happy birthday to me, 28, going to be a great year. Like, that's kind of weird.
I thought it was weird. And it just comes off like he's just him mentally. Because that's the difference. He's just not the same as that guy mentally. And he just has to be the sidekick. Just be a good number two. Embiid has elevated. Just be a good number two. And he can't even do that. And we know Giannis now shows he's capable of being the guy. We're only asking him to be a number two. Be a sidekick. Be Robin. And instead of being Robin, a lot of times when it came to dealing with us, he was like the Riddler. He was the Joker, but not awesome. Like he was like most of the Jokers have been pretty awesome. Ledger was pretty awesome. Jack was awesome. Even Jared Leto's pretty awesome as a Joker. But we need like it's like community theater Joker is what he is.
You need to find Batman like the one that hasn't been in publication in, you know, 30, because the villain's so bad, right?
Yeah.
Like you got to find, it was a one-time villain, and everybody read it and was like, that's terrible. Where's Penguin? Where's Joker? Where's Riddler? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, who's Johnny? Johnny, the bad accountant. Like, that's the, like, it's just, I'm frustrated, if you can't tell.
I can tell.
I'm frustrated between Nola and then that happening and the way that it happened. Had it happened with Middleton going off, I go, all right. But they won because of him, playing the exact style Ben should play, but won't play, and, hey, doesn't really think it's important that he does play it.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic. The Mike Missinelli Show.
As we go on to Jens Jones here on the Mike Missinelli Show.
So today we're going to start with a local story. A Philadelphia couple's dream wedding, Tyler, take note of this, recently turned into a nightmare when the bride dislocated her knee during the first dance. So had the wedding at the reception. The new husband goes to dip the bride during their first dance, and she slipped and she dislocated her knee. A doctor was there in the audience, you know, at the actual reception, and was able to stabilize her knee, but she did have to go to the hospital. She's expected to be fine.
That is the reason as to why my fiance gets hurt at our wedding.
It wasn't the groom's fault this time. She slipped.
But, well, you know, I won't be a part of it at all. It will be if she does get hurt, it will be in the middle of the wedding, on the dance floor, like on her own, because she
clumsy.
No. She loves to dance.
And you don't.
No, well, I'm going to. I'm not. And I'll give you like fair warning. Like you're gonna be like, Tyler, you are the worst dancer in the history of the world.
It doesn't matter. Yep.
I'm looking forward to your wedding. I'm looking forward to your wedding there, Tyler.
It's your wedding.
Yeah, and Tyler's locked in on having to invite me because of the save the date. So even though if you fall
you're stuck.
He still has to, like, he kind of still has to invite me. So I'm looking forward to it. Now, I'm going to kind of call a violation on the bride, not on getting hurt. Once it got stabilized, man, you can't suck it up for a couple hours.
I guess the doctor.
What you doing going to the hospital for?
I guess the doctor suggested.
It's the biggest day of your life.
I don't know. Maybe.
What you going to the hospital for? Now, if you told me heart, lung, like a life-threatening thing.
Right.
By all means, dislocated knee. Now, you can still chair dance, slow bop, have drink.
Maybe she was in a lot of pain.
But I thought it got popped back in.
Well,
there was some ligament damage. Otherwise, violation on her for not sucking it up.
The doctor was able to stabilize it. That's all it said. And then the EMS came and took her to a hospital.
Well, I mean, what? I'm not denying the injury. I'm just saying that.
I would have probably just said, hand me a bottle of bourbon.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'll go later. Like I'm not going to, like, you don't get your deposit back. Like, there's a lot of people here. Like, at least you get it. Like, this is a rain or shine type of deal here.
Yep.
Rain, like, shine, or dislocated shoulder, apparently.
Her knee.
I'm sorry.
That's
knee.
Even like if it was the shoulder.
You pop it back in.
Pop that thing out and play Hurts. Take me up, Doc. I gotta stay. All right.
So, story number two. A woman rejects a proposal at a baseball game. Now, I don't know if this was staged or not.
I saw the video, I think.
Yeah. What do you think it was staged?
Well, tell the story.
All right. So, a gentleman recently proposed to his girlfriend at a Worcester Red Sox minor league baseball game. Man dropped down to one knee and said, "Will you marry me?" And the female ran off, saying, "I have to go. I have to go." Think it was staged?
It could have been staged.
Yeah.
Because of the way she backed up right away. But I will say this as a general thing. Tyler, you proposed more recently than me.
Correct.
And I know that when I proposed, I knew she was going to say yes.
Yes.
But I was still nervous. So
sure,
I
yeah.
knew
sure.
she was going to say yes.
Yeah.
Did the same apply to you?
Oh, yeah. We had talked about, you know, our future and getting married
yeah.
for probably 2 years prior to that happening. But you're right. I was still nervous, too.
Still nervous, but I knew, like, I wouldn't have done it. You don't propose if it's a maybe. If there's any chance she would say no, it should basically be a formality.
Right. Joe and I had never talked about getting married before he proposed.
Oh, really?
Not really.
Oh.
Not really. But, oh. I mean, but he knew when, yeah, he knew I was going to say yes.
Well, I mean, you clearly love him. I'm just saying, y'all had never even discussed it?
Not really.
Say something. So three things. The beer thing, the diamond dust.
You just think I'm one big liar, don't you?
No, this one's just, maybe you're just weird. Like, maybe you're just like a weirdo.
Yeah,
like,
maybe.
What do you mean you didn't discuss it?
Not really. I mean, we just kind of always talked about that, you know, we had a future together, but neither of us were, I wasn't that female that grew up, you know, planning my wedding when I was, you know, 12 years old or
I'm
whatever.
I'm saying you guys could have went to the courthouse and he could have been wearing khaki shorts. I just find it odd that you didn't discuss it at all. I'm not saying that you had to be Cinderella.
All right.
Just I think that's outside the norm that you never discussed it.
No, completely. I am full on aware that I am in the minority of all these things that you think I'm lying about.
All right,
story number three. This one's interesting. Nearly 23% of all American adults stated that they have done the nasty in a plane, train, bus, taxi, or ferry. Some stating that they have had sex on multiple forms of public transportation. This equals to almost 59 million people.
Now lay out plane.
Plane.
Train.
Train. Bus.
Bus.
Taxi.
Taxi.
Ferry.
All right. Whew.
Ooh. That's a lot.
That's a lot of people.
59 now, million people.
That's a lot of people. We got like 300 million people. So that's a nice chunk of people. Like
yeah.
300 million, that's a good chunk. Now, I can tell you one of my worst experiences in life was pre-Uber, slightly before Uber. Friend of my brother and I was getting married in Philly, and they threw a big party in the city. So we all took cabs. And there was like three or four different cabs, and I end up in the cab with the future bride and groom. And
did they go all the way?
I'm sitting there, and I didn't know where we were going, so I needed to tell the taxi driver, because for a while I think the taxi driver was just following, but he didn't actually know where we were stopped, and I didn't know the answer. So
oh,
they. All right, let me be careful. We gotta be careful here. She was busy. He wasn't busy. Okay? He was able to speak. She was unable to speak. But I had to ask, like, where are we going? And I didn't get an answer because I had to tell the driver because I didn't know. And then again, I had to ask, where are we going? Again. While all that's happening, taxi driver, because I think we got separated at a light because he was following at first. And then once the separation came, I had to tell him because I didn't know. They didn't tell me which bar was where the party was. But I figured I was good because I was with the bride and groom to be. And she couldn't speak. And he just wouldn't speak. That was not a fun experience.
That's so strange. I'm assuming you were in the front seat?
Yes.
Okay.
That's better. Still not great. So according to this article, over 14 million people have done it in a taxi cab or a rideshare.
That's so weird.
But totally, 59 million people on some kind of public transportation.
Public transportation.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm not going to ask any more questions for anybody today. So thank you, Jen, for Jen's joins today.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Very excited about this. Each and every week, a literal Hall of Famer is able to come on the show, and that's Mr. Jason Stark, and he's brought to you by Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks. Good juices for good times. How are you today, Jason?
Tyrone, I am good, man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, except for now I'm concerned about Nola. His ERA over 6 since June 1st. Jason, help me out. What is going on with him, and what are the odds he can turn this around?
Yeah, I don't know, Tyrone. He has never looked right since day one of spring training. I had scouts back in March saying he's not the same. And, you know, he doesn't finish his two-seamer the way he used to. Remember that little Greg Maddux comeback two-seamer? He would throw, they would just freeze hitters, and he doesn't have that pitch. He doesn't have faith in that pitch. He has a lot of games. He loses trust in his curve and his changeup. It just made him way too dependent on his fastball, and that's getting hit. A couple things I've noticed that people pointed out to me. He's not finishing off good hitters the way he used to. They just stay in at bats until he makes a mistake. And look at the numbers, man. Cleanup hitters are 340 against him with 1,000 OPS. Leadoff hitters almost 360, also with 1,000 OPS. That's ominous. And the other thing is, once he gets in trouble, it's like he's got that Vince Velasquez thing going. He can't pitch out of it. Runners in scoring position, opponents hitting over 300. Runners in scoring position, 2 outs. Opponents hitting 342. Just that the red flags, the danger signs are written all over this.
And thanks for all that, Jason, because my concern has been entering the trade deadline, and we'll talk about that in just 1 second, is that if you're going to get another starter and replace Velasquez or more, if you're going to change your bullpen, if you're going to get a new center fielder, none of that will really matter in the grand scheme if Nola's not your true number two, especially with how well Wheeler has pitched. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Any dreaming that you want to do about them getting to October, it's really built around Wheeler, Nola, Eflin, and then the middle of that order. And, you know, outside of Wheeler, there's real reason for concern about both Nola and Eflin. You know, they're downplaying Eflin on the injured list right now, but this is a knee issue that goes back 5 years, so you have to watch that very closely. And like, they're built around Aaron Nola being great, and we just haven't seen that other than a game here and there. They've got a chance. They really do, but the formula is precarious the more he keeps pitching like this.
And that is my concern going into the trade deadline. It appears that everyone but the Marlins in the division are at least open to trying to buy. What do you think is realistic for the Phillies, if you're a fan, so we don't get our hopes too high going into the deadline?
Well, you know, the biggest question that I had, that people around the sport had, was whether they were willing to exceed the tax threshold if that's what it took to just take on money of good players. And I'll tell you what, every indication that I get is that the owner now has so much faith in Dave Dombrowski that if he's got a chance to just take money, and I think that's a real vehicle for making a deal with some of these teams that have that are absorbed these heavy losses in 2020 and 2021. If they can do that, there are deals to be made. And, you know, I've been telling you this. Dave said this week on that John Clark podcast. He's not thinking about selling. He's looking about adding. He's looking at just about everyone and everything that you can imagine, man. Back of the bullpen, closers, setup, number four type starters, although there's not a lot of that available. They've poked around on the outfield market, the center field market. I mean, I know that they've checked in on Chris Bryant, that kind of guy, but I don't see them making a deal that requires some huge prospect haul. I see them making deals with more modest prospect payments and the ability to take on money. I honestly think that if those deals are there to be made, that's his track record, and the owner will let him make them.
And that's really encouraging, because when you don't have that farm system, when you don't have that hot prospect, it seems like the Phillies haven't had in forever, money can solve a lot of those problems, and the Phillies at least have that over a team like Atlanta, who, if I'm correct, usually isn't the type that's going to spend big at the deadline.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, they've got enough mid-level type prospects to make deals. And, you know, Matt Gelb and I have a story we've worked on today that's going to post in The Athletic any minute that looks at all of this, looks at their prospect, their prospect capital, looks at Dave Dombrowski's track record, and looks at the willingness of John Middleton to just place his trust in whatever Dave wants to do. And, like, look at what Dave has done in his career. Whenever he has had a chance to win, he makes deals. He makes multiple deals, and he makes good deals. Take a look when this story posts, man. The record speaks for itself.
No, absolutely. I'm looking forward to that, to your great work you always do on The Athletic, and I'm glad that you have the freedom there to do long-form pieces, as you do many times, and that's been a lot of fun for a person like me to really dig in and read. I know Tyler, who's producing today, he's a big baseball fan. He likes the long-form things as well, so we just want to compliment you on those. Part of the reason why people were feeling better, at least before last night, was this offense. And one of the players that have turned around so much, and he's such a fan favorite, is McCutchen. I know early, I would remember you saying that you didn't think, and the people you spoke to didn't think he was that far off when he was struggling so bad early in the year. What changed?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I want you to take a step back and think about what he's gone through. You know, he got traded to the Yankees the end of 2018. He was really good for them. He signed in Philly. He was really good before he tore that ACL. And I know guys get back in less time, in 6 months, 9 months, much quicker than they used to. But that is really an 18-month recovery to full recovery. So it just took him a long time to get his legs back. He wasn't there last year. He wasn't there early this year. Now you're seeing what a good baseball player he is, what a smart player he is, what a fun player he is. Just always been one of my favorite people in the game to watch and talk to. And as you mentioned, like, even when people were worried about him, if you really watch, the quality at bats was good. He wasn't overmatched. He just had a messed up swing. He had a wobbly foundation. He was hitting more ground balls than he'd ever hit in his life. And now that's changed. He's getting the ball back in the air like he always has. He's getting on base like he always has. He's making hard contact. Since June 1st, man, he's seventh in the league in on base. He's got an on base almost 400. His OPS is 975 since June 1st. That's better than Mookie. It's better than Fernando Tatis. It's better than Aaron Judge. He's a star player again, and it's fun to watch.
It really is. And then he's like, he could possibly get 30 home runs. And it's just, this is like, what? I feel like it would just be a waste the way this offense could possibly get to if the pitching was to really hold him back, and especially the Nola situation. I just want to ask you a question just from covering the game for a long time. I have this thing where when your team gets the lead and the pitcher gives the lead back immediately that next half inning, that it does something mentally to an offense. Now, I could be completely wrong, and I doubt there's any stat on that. But just with you being around the game and being the Hall of Fame level guy, is there anything to this theory? Because I feel like it's deflating when a team gets lead and a pitcher immediately the next half inning gives it back. I've always thought that must make you squeeze the bat that much tighter.
Yeah, there's old Sarge, Gary Matthews, shutdown innings.
Yes.
Talk about all the time.
Yes.
I think that's a real thing. You know, it might not be a thing if you're a great team. If you're on the road to winning 100 games, like, I don't know that it phases those kinds of teams, but teams like the Phillies, all the leads that they've given back, I think has really taken its toll on this team. It's amazing to me that they've played the way they have over the last 3 weeks, considering all the leads they've given away. I mean, we talk about this all the time, but they've lost 25 games where they held a lead. And, you know, how often can you keep putting those rallies together? You know, how often can you keep coming back? It's hard to do. Like the last few weeks, they've been able to overcome that stuff, blow those leads, and come back and still win. But this team's done way too much of that. And it's just one of the reasons that the GM is being so aggressive in trying to find pitching upgrades so you don't see it as much.
You know what? Thank you so much, Jason. I'm really looking forward to your piece. We'll mention that and put it in the notes as soon as it comes out on The Athletic. And every week you always deliver. Thank you so much, Jason.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, Tyrone. I'll shoot you a text as soon as that posts.
Thank you so much.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.